Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Em, and today I'm chatting with Este Lalonde.
I love what moving countries has done for me in terms of my self-confidence, you know, just broadening my horizons and all of the amazing people that I've met through moving. I can't imagine my life if I didn't move.
Este is a content creator and Canadian living in London. She's also the founder of Mirror Water, a lifestyle community and beauty brand focused on self-reflection. Este has collaborated with some of the best brands, creating three best-selling jewelry collections with Daisy London, in addition to being a brand ambassador for the likes of Lancôme, Garnier, and Adidas, and featured in publications like Vogue, The Telegraph, Glamour, and more. I loved this convo with Este so much. She's sharing her raw experience around moving countries at just age 19, struggles with mental health, and her experience as a brand founder. In addition, she's just keeping it really real around content creation and urging us all to get outside of our heads, our phones, and really looking inward. That's enough from me. Here's my chat with Este.
Este, hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just realizing you can probably hear my dog crunching her lunch behind us.
Totally fine. Before we press record, we were both just talking about how, like, you need food before a conversation like this. Like, before a meeting, I was like stuffing my face with a granola bar before a call earlier.
Yes. It's like, it's amazing what, I mean, it's not amazing. Like, we all know that food is so good for you, but it really does keep you going throughout the day. And I think sometimes these podcasts and, you know, even meetings, they just energetically take a lot out of you. So you have to maintain the food for sure.
Yes, we need our fuel. We need our energy. I love it. Well, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I've been following you for so long. So thanks for taking the time to be with us today. We are just going to jump right into things. We have so much to chat on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. Do you mind just giving our audience a brief background on like who you are and what you're all about?
Yes. So my name is Este Lalonde, and it's come to my attention that I've been on the internet for almost 11 years now, a really long time. So I originally moved to the UK from Canada, and that's kind of where I started my blogging journey and my blogging career. And I was kind of sharing my life story of moving to a new place, and also my just discovering beauty and skincare and all of those amazing self-care rituals that I'm really known for today. So I've been a content creator for, like I said, about 11 years. I do some consultancy as well. And most recently, I have founded my own brand, which is called Mirror Water. And it's a bath and body brand. And our big focus is self-reflection and giving people the tools that people need to have their own internal revolution. So that's my most recent focus. And that's what I'm all about.
Perfect. Perfect. Yes. We can't wait to chat Mirror Water. Love the breakdown. So on this podcast, I love to talk about our guests' big moves. You've just mentioned a couple of them, moving from Canada to the UK at such a young age, and then also launching your brand, your business. I'd love to talk about your move from Canada to the UK. Like, what did that look like for you? How did that kind of come to fruition?
It's really something that at the time I didn't think much of. I was excited about it, but I didn't think it would be kind of the defining part of my career and my life as I knew it. When I was 19, I met someone and we fell in love at the time, and we're not together anymore, but we had a great run. We were together a long, long time, 8.5 or 9 years. And I moved here to be with him, as well as just to have my own experiences. But when I moved over here, like I said, I was young, I was 19. And I'd never been to the UK before. I just knew I wanted to be with this person, and I was just willing to take the plunge and the risk. And I think when you're that age, you just don't think too hard about things. And it was not an easy move for me at all. I was super homesick, which we can talk about. But ultimately, it was the best thing I have ever done for myself. I absolutely love living in London, and I love what moving countries has done for me in terms of my self-confidence, you know, just broadening my horizons and all of the amazing people that I've met through moving. I can't imagine my life if I didn't move. You know, it's completely transformed me.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And it's like, so I moved over from the US to London, but I had 10 years on you. So I was almost 30. So must have looked really different as literally like a 19, 20 year old. You're moving over, you're like taking the jump, you're taking the risk. What was like one of the biggest challenges? Like, was it homesickness? Was it something else?
Yeah, I was really homesick and I became very depressed as well. And I think at that age, when you're 19, you don't know how to make connections and you don't know how to make new friendships. And I had never really had to do that. I think it's interesting that you moved when you were 30, because I often wonder what it would be like. I'm 31, like what it would be like for me to move somewhere now. I mean, would I find it easier? Would I find it more difficult? I'd like to think I would find it easier just because I'm more confident as a person, but you know, there's pluses and minuses to everything. But yeah, at that age, I didn't know what I didn't know. And the homesickness was so bad for me. It took almost probably 2 or 3 years for me to get over the depression and homesickness of living in a different country. And I was so in love with the person I was with at the time that I was just like going to push through it. And my mom and all of my family and friends were really supportive of me. Like they just kept saying like, one more week, Estee, just get through one more week, get through 2 more weeks. You can do this. We really are rooting for you. And without that support of people, I don't think I could have done it, because it was really hard and incredibly lonely.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, I think that age was on your side in the sense of like taking the jump, taking the risk and being kind of like fearless, probably more so than me when I came over here. It was like a bit like, oh, really? I'm leaving my entire life and all that I knew and that I've established in New York to come here. But I would say, I kind of agree with you. I think the homesickness is not age synonymous. Like it was so challenging for me too. And it's not the physical distance. It's like the emotional distance between, you know, you and your friends and your family and everyone that you're close to. It's really hard. And I don't know that it gets easier. I'm 5 years into living here. You've lived here longer than I, but I don't know if it gets easier.
Yeah. I mean, it's different for me now, I think, because I look at London like really as my home. And that's something that's come in probably in the past couple of years. Like when I go home to Canada, it doesn't really feel like home to me at all. I've spent all of my 20s in London. So I'm like, it's a bit of a weird limbo for me, because it's like, I am Canadian. I identify with like that upbringing and all my family and friends are there. And there are so many Canadianisms in myself that I just didn't even realize it, but I'm also so English now. Like it's when I go home, I'm like, wait, you microwave your water to make a cup of tea? Are you completely out of your mind? Like, no.
Yeah.
So I almost feel a bit in limbo. But yeah, I think the homesickness for me is definitely less. I think now I more miss the connections. And as my brother grows up and he's like moving on with his life, I feel like I'm missing all those little things. But it's just kind of the path for me. And yeah, it's really funny. It's a really weird thing. And unless you've experienced it, and also like I moved, and so did you, from an English speaking country to an English speaking country. So I always just didn't think it was going to be that hard. It's like, what's the difference? You're speaking the same language, but there are so many cultural differences from country to country that you can't even begin to describe it unless you experience it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you.
So Estee, getting into some questions on your career as a content creator, building your community online, at what point as a content creator did you feel like you kind of went from hobby to career with all of that? Like, what did that look like? What was the turning point?
Well, I always say it was such a different time back then. It honestly feels like a completely different universe. But back then, there weren't that many content creators, honestly. I mean, if you compare it, I would have never expected there to be this many content creators now. I mean, it felt huge then, but now this is like, you know, it's next level. So there weren't really that many of us. And I was like blogging and doing YouTube videos for like at least a year or two, if not more, before I started making any money from it. I didn't even know it was possible. And we were kind of all friends at the time. And somebody said, how much money are you making on advertising on your blog? And I was like, I'm not advertising on my blog. What do you mean make money? Like it genuinely had never, ever occurred to me that I could monetize. I didn't even know what that word meant, monetize. Like that just was so far from what I was doing. So we slowly, slowly, slowly kind of started all to understand, you know, what we were doing there and trying to make money. And even then it felt like imposter syndrome. It's like, gosh, why am I trying to make money off this hobby that I love so much? And, you know, the audience was also like, what are they doing trying to make money off this? Like it was a really weird, weird time. Anyway, I digress. After a bit of that, I started making a tiny little bit of money, and there were other people who had been able to make this their full-time job. because I just moved to England, I had no money. I moved here with like all my savings, which was not much because I had been working at the body shop. That was my first job and job in beauty, I should say. And so I had no money at all, but I decided to kind of just slow down my part-time jobs. And I was working when I moved to England. Sorry, I'm not telling the story very well, but when I moved to England, I was working some part-time jobs at like Topshop and a furniture store. And I was also trying to get my degree as well through distance learning. I was studying psychology and I kind of realized, you know, I'm not sleeping. I'm doing all this blogging after I'm done like my retail job. And then I'm trying to do my university work and I'm trying to do this. And I told myself, I just want to give myself a year to try this. So I had enough money to kind of get me through the year with rent and everything like that. And then I just decided to give it a go. And luckily things worked out. But I think if things didn't work out after that year, I definitely wouldn't have kept going.
Totally. What a juggle too. It's like those early days where you're hustling, it's your side hustle. I could totally relate to that. So it sounds like you had a lot on your plate. If we kind of go back to those early days, was there like one learning experience or like a challenge or an obstacle that sort of like stuck out in your mind that like made a big impact on you?
One of the biggest things that happened to me was when I was supposed to do a meet and greet. This was like back in the day, where we did meet and greets. And
can we bring those back, by the way?
Oh my gosh.
Like the in-person, like in the flesh, like let's all meet.
it was so wild. Anyway, it was a brand and I'd never done any work with a brand before. It's a really cool brand. It's a brand I still really love today. I won't name them, but I started thinking like they want me to do a meet and greet in their store to promote their products and bring my audience to meet them in their store. And anyway, they didn't want to pay me for it.
Sure.
So this was like back in the day and I had to like make a phone call to the agency and say, you know what? I really think I should be paid for at least my time to come down there. This wasn't even about an endorsement fee or anything. And the person on the phone was like, that's just not happening. We're not paying you. And this is really unprofessional of you to ask for money. And like, and it was just a crazy experience actually. And then anyway, I didn't get the money and I went and did the meet and greet and I felt really weird about the whole thing. And that was probably the first and last time, well, definitely not the last time, but the last time I was like seriously, out of my depth, I think. Like I realized then that I needed to step it up and learn how to assert myself and really, you know, understand my value. And that was a real turning point for me because that's when I started to understand the power of creators and influencers, whatever you want to call it. And I just felt really taken advantage of. And I kind of made a vow to myself then that I wasn't going to let that happen again. And since then, I really haven't. So that was a huge moment for me because nobody likes to feel like they're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like you said, you're bringing your platform, your audience, you're promoting their brand. It's not a tough ask. So it's really interesting that you got some pushback there, but then you realized like, no, like, and this didn't feel good and I'm not going to let this happen again. So what a revelation too, as like a younger, you know, business person, content creator.
Well, that's just it. I was probably 21 when that happened and I had never had to do that before ever in my life. And that's so scary to have those initial conversations. And at the same time, I have to be likable and I have to be Estée Lalonde and like be whatever. So it was a real challenge for me. And yeah, I've just never had to do that before. And it does get easier with time. Now it's like second nature. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. Or yes, I'll do that or whatever. And it's not always about the money, but it's about the respect. So that really shifted a huge thing within myself, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. It's about the respect 100%. So I guess talking about your community, you've done an incredible job of building your community online in what I think is a really authentic and real way. What do you attribute that to? Do you have any tips for someone building an online presence, but striving for authenticity? Because I think, you know, with Instagram, it can be really challenging. Obviously, we are editing our photos, we are curating our feeds, like it can be kind of hard.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a bit different for me because I really started with YouTube. I started with video content and it's a little bit harder to hide your personality and stuff when you're doing video content. I feel like on Instagram now it's like you know, curated photo, get that angle right, get that lighting right and whatever. Back then, we didn't have any of those tools, like those foot editing apps didn't even exist. So I think from the beginning, I was just myself. I was a nervous version of myself, but I was really myself. And I also, honestly, it's my mom. My mom would watch my videos and she would say, "That's not you. Why are you, that's so weird. Why are you acting like that? Like, it's not who you are." So I always knew that, like,
you can always count on mom.
Yeah. My real friends and my real family would watch my videos and be like, "Who are you trying to impress? Like, no, that's not you." And I always kind of kept that in the back of my mind. And my grandma always used to say, just stay grounded, stay grounded, stay grounded. And I really do think that's been a huge reason why I've built this community and why people have stayed with me for so long. You know, I met someone literally yesterday at a food market, and she said that she's been watching me since like 10 years ago or something like that, forever. I mean, that's a long, long time. That's a lot of life changes. And I think I'm the only me I can be. I always say that I'm the only me I can be. And I'm not trying to really be like anyone else, but it is so tempting. I mean, sometimes I see people's content, I'm like, gosh, like, I wish I could create something so beautiful. But I think it's really all about figuring out who you are and learning how to put that online in a way that is still boundary, because we all need boundaries with our real personalities, I think. So it's definitely a fine line, but I've had a lot of practice probably.
Yeah, no, I think that's such a great, just tangible, realistic tip. And I totally agree with you. I think video is where it's at in showing a little bit more personality, keeping it light and funny if you want. I mean, also keeping it serious, but I just think it pushes you to share more in that way.
Yeah. I think in the beginning, actually, it's just, I've had like a flashback to those early days. My whole thing was like that I was quite funny and I was, didn't take myself too seriously and blah, blah, blah. And that actually became kind of expected to me. Like every beauty video would have to be funny. And I started to feel like it was getting away from who I actually am. And I am funny, but when I start to feel like I can like have to force it, I become unfunny very, very quickly. So it was tough because you want to give the audience what they want. I don't know. It's a really weird thing.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. And so I guess when it comes to personal branding, you've done a really great job of creating your personal brand online, and then obviously Mirror Water, which we will absolutely be getting to. But do you have any tips for creating your personal brand? Like, what has worked well for you, do you think?
Well, I never thought I would become a brand, like my personality and like my life and the things that I like. I didn't set out to do it. You know, if someone sat down with me now and said, okay, we need to create a brand and it's all about you, where would you start? And that's basically what you just asked. I genuinely don't know. It's such a natural progression, but if I had to start everything again, I think I would literally just take actual notes and say, what am I trying to achieve here? How am I trying to make people feel? That's kind of what I did with Mirror Water, which I know we'll talk about, but that's kind of the way I approach that, is how do I want people to feel when they look at my content? How do I want people to feel when they see my space? How do I, you know, everything is really thought out and it's not necessarily fake, but it's considered. And it's the same with your visuals. So if you want to appear like you're, you know, attainable luxury, well, you need to give off that impression. You need to be that. You need to wear those clothes. You need to blah, 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 blah. So it's so multifaceted, and that goes down to your actual branding, like your graphic design, your logo, your website, the people you hang out with, and it's not easy. It's really not easy, but I think luckily I've managed to evolve with it, and I've not personally set out to like brand myself, if that makes sense. I've it's like chicken and the egg. What came first for me? I came first and the branding came second. But I think now a lot of the time the branding comes first and then you come second.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I guess, what do you think is like the biggest myth or maybe something that you want to sort of like demystify about content creation and sort of everything you've done over the last 10 years?
Well, I always say it's not my job to show people how hard I work. That's not my job. And actually my job is to make people think I don't work that hard in a way, because it's kind of an escape for them. But I will say that every single person that's ever worked I never like to say worked for me, but worked with me, you know, assistants or anybody, interns, like anyone that I've ever worked with, they're always shocked at how much goes into this. And it happens every time, like clockwork, you know, you hire someone, they're all really excited. Oh my God, I'm working with this day, Lalonde. I'm so excited to learn everything from you. It's like, no, this is a job. And it's actually quite intense. And I approve everything. I look at everything. We look at it together. We do it 5-6 times if we have to. Like, you know, that could just be one Instagram story. And I think that's probably the biggest myth. I think it's kind of coming around and people do realize it. But you're thinking about everything. Like, even as I'm doing this podcast, I'm like, what is actually in the background of this video? Okay, I've got all this junk here. Do I care if like people see this? I know we're on a podcast, but do I care if somebody sees this junk? Like, what does that say about me? And this shirt and this, and it's always in the back of my mind ticking along, even if I'm not addressing it. So it's a very like layered job actually. And it's not frivolous. And it's not just about, oh, I really like this lipstick. It's so much more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's like, it is all in those details and being professional and showing up and being thoughtful. Like, you know, we're not, you know, we're just posting a video and here we are out into the universe. It's like, you're right. There's so much planning. There's so much strategy that goes into it. If it is your business, you know, it's one thing. Yes. If it's your business, it's one thing. If it is your fun side thing, those are very different things. So yeah, that makes so much sense what you just shared. So I know sharing your vulnerable side, you know, your struggles with mental health has become a little bit more of a focus for you over the last sort of few years. Why has that sort of come to the surface for you? And like, what's that been like?
Well, I've always struggled with mental health and I've actually always been quite open about it. I think just because when I moved here, I was so depressed and I wasn't really able to hold it back. I maybe couldn't, you know, verbalize it maybe the same way that I could now, but I've always struggled with it. I struggled with social anxiety a lot when I was in high school. And again, it was a different time. You know, when you would say to someone that you have anxiety, even back then, like when I was 15, they would just say, oh, like, get over it. You know, it wasn't like it is now. And I've also realized in the past few years how much it's actually impacted my relationships with my friends, with my partners, with my work colleagues and everything. You know, I've just become more in tune with what makes me feel certain ways. And for whatever reason, it doesn't feel difficult for me to talk about it. I like sharing it. I like talking about it. And actually the same girl that I met at the market who's been watching me for 10 years, she said to me, which I was so touched by, she said that I'm the reason why she is able to talk about her anxiety and she's the reason why she got help. And I've always felt like it was almost my responsibility to share my experience with mental health because I know the people watching me, there's a kinship there. You know, there's something that you can't see, but it's something where you're like, oh, we're similar. That's why people follow people on the internet. So it's like they see a bit of themselves in me maybe. And yeah, like I said, I just feel like it's been a bit of my responsibility. And then why it's become a bit more of my focus over the past few years is because, well, we had the pandemic and I realized, you know, I don't even really wear that much makeup. I'm not a beauty influencer. Like I see all these amazing people doing these amazing tutorials. That's not me. That's never going to be me. I never really started my blog because I was obsessed with beauty. I started it because I always saw beauty as a tool to connect with others. And don't get me wrong, I love beauty. I am a beauty addict, but not in the way that, you know, makeup artists are or things like that.
Sure.
So, when the pandemic happened, I think we all went a lot deeper and I noticed in myself that I actually felt more comfortable than usual because I didn't have to go anywhere. My anxiety is all about social anxiety. That's why I find video chat so easy because I'm in my comfortable space, you know?
Sure.
And everyone was like stressed about being inside and I was like, oh, this is reprieve. Like I could breathe, I could chill. I've never felt more almost relaxed in myself. So that's when I felt like I had the space to kind of talk about my own mental health and I started sharing it and a lot of people resonated with it. I mean, that was some of my most successful content was sharing about my mental health. And I'm at a stage now where I'm so familiar with it that I feel strong enough to share it without it crossing a boundary within myself. So I hope that answers your question. But
yeah, no, it absolutely does. There's so much there, and it's like, you're shedding light on the fact that there are these things going on behind closed doors. And like you said, it's like that one girl, like if you can help one person, you know, just be able to be more open about it or want to talk about it or want to talk to someone or find, you know, solace and therapy or something. It's like that alone, I think, is so worth it. And yeah, again, you're making it just feel relatable to this community that you have. So I think it's so important, and it's so needed, I think, right now.
Yeah. And one other thing I want to say about it too, is that we always get kind of painted this picture of depression as you're stuck in bed all day and you can't do anything. And, you know, you don't leave the house. And that is definitely a type of depression, 100%. And I've had experiences like that myself, or even with anxiety, where you cannot do anything. But also there are different versions of depression and anxiety and other mental health struggles. You know, just because I am successful and I'm, you know, able to do all of these amazing things doesn't mean that I still can't struggle on the inside. And I think that's something that I'm really passionate about too, is depression can look like a lot of different things. And even right now, like I'm sounding very like in control and this and that, but you know, after this podcast, I will feel very depleted. And I love doing podcasts, so that's a thing. And I love like talking to people, but I just know myself where I'll have to take this podcast, turn this off. I'll need to like take a few breaths and just be with myself, because it'll feel really overwhelming to me. And that's the thing, people don't always see that side. So it's been really interesting for me to share that, and how other people say, oh, I felt like I could never talk about it because I'm a lawyer and I'm doing all this stuff. Like, how can I be depressed when I'm doing all this stuff? So it's like, I think just opening up the dialogue about different facets of mental health struggles has been really important to me. And it's helped me a lot on my own personal healing journey.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for sharing just your real experience with it. And you're absolutely right. It's like there's such varying degrees of mental health and anxiety and depression and all of it. And so it affects everyone so differently. And I think it's just important, again, to like shed light on that fact.
Completely. And can I say one more thing about it?
Absolutely.
Is that even if everybody has mental health, but even if you're somebody who doesn't struggle with these things necessarily, I have a lot of people in my life who have never even, they say they've never felt anxiety. I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like. But I just think it's also important for those people to just understand it so they can be more empathetic, you know? So that's another angle to it, where it's like, just because it doesn't maybe affect you as deeply as maybe someone you know, it's really important for you to at least try to understand and empathize with someone, how they might be feeling, you know, when at the last minute they cancel and say, I can't actually make it to dinner tonight, sorry. It's not because they're flaky, it's because they actually can't. And just that understanding, I think, is going to be good for us all going forward, especially as the world like reopens up a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So Este, you have worked with some of the coolest brands across beauty, fashion, lifestyle. What has been your most memorable collaboration and why?
By far, my collaboration with Daisy Jewelry. I love all of the team at Daisy. That has been a life-changing collaboration for me. So I think I've got 4 collections now. I can't really keep track, but if you don't know, I have a jewelry collection with a London-based company called Daisy, and we kind of approached each other. It was all very, serendipitous of how we decided to work together. And we created these amazing pieces together. And like I said, I think we've got 4 collections now, but that has been a huge inspiration to me because I really felt like I was on the inside. It was one of the first projects I've ever been able to see have a complete oversight of. So from designing the pieces to learning how they package it, to seeing where they ship it, how the marketing works, you know, sitting in on meetings that I've never, ever been involved in and feeling like I was part of it and that I had a say, it really was something that has been so beneficial to me. I can't even explain it. And that collaboration has actually inspired me now to start my own brand, but that has been the best collaboration. I think also because it's something tangible that people can wear, that I can wear. It's like a lot of my work is done online and I almost feel like it doesn't even exist. But with jewelry, it's just been amazing to see. And also, I think jewelry is a bit like armor. I love jewelry. I love putting it on. It makes me feel powerful. So that's been the best.
I love it. And I have to shout you out. I'm wearing one of your pieces today.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I can't see it. It's blurry. What is it?
Okay. It's like the double skinny.
Oh, the parallel like snake.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I love it. And your collections are beautiful. And just so everyone knows, again, it's Daisy Jewelry and they're great everyday staple pieces. Like you can literally hoops, the necklaces, everything. And it's done so well. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think like with the jewelry too, back when I started that, it was like, I just want jewelry that's like a little bit more considered than like something you can just go buy on the high street, but also not going to completely break the bank, but it's something that we might have different levels. And exactly, you can dress it up, dress it down. We'll definitely have to send you some more pieces. We need to see some more snakes on your neck.
I love it. I love it. And that's my absolutely my favorite one.
Yeah.
So we need to hear about Mirror Water. So tell us everything. Yeah. Like what's the story behind Mirror Water and how did you come upon the idea? How did you launch it? Everything.
Oh my gosh, how long do you have? Because I've all day. It is my biggest passion project that I've ever had. It's my heart and my soul and my spirit all wrapped into one. And it's really utilizing all of the skills that I've learned throughout my career. And it's me. It's like me in a bottle. I always say that. I know other founders say that, but I never understood it until you've done it because it's so hard, Emily. So hard. But basically it was created in the pandemic. I've always wanted to have my own brand. I never thought I could do it. And that's been a huge part of it for me was just, you know, accepting myself and realizing that I can do it and it is possible. And I have to have faith in myself and bet on myself. And it's scary. I mean, it's the scariest thing I've ever done. Every day I wake up and I'm kind of scared. But I love the bath. I love having baths. I love body care. I love taking that time for myself, whether it's a face mask or just a hot shower after a long day or just that time to breathe. And I really wanted to create a brand that was around that. So we say it's a human focused brand with a mission to inspire self-reflection and encourage you to spark your own internal revolution. And I think over the past, you know, 11, 12 years of me on the internet, people have seen me invent myself, reinvent myself, go through changes, breakups, exciting stuff, you know, sad stuff, losing my dog and all this stuff. And just showing people that, you know, life is full of ups and downs. What can we do that's just like a realistic form of relaxation? That's what I always say. We're realistic relaxation. I felt like there were no brands out there that were really speaking to this. And I felt like a lot of the relaxation brands were really focused on an older demographic. So like 50, 60, that kind of age group where it was like very luxury, but I don't know, missing some of that cool factor. So I just started realizing in the pandemic that so many of my friends were burnt out. Just because you're 30 doesn't mean you can't be exhausted. And I think that was something that I was really, really passionate about because so much of, you know, the kids these days and the 30-year-olds these days, we're just spending so much time on the internet. We're not getting that replenishment. And rather than being guilt-driven about it, like, don't spend so much time on your computer. It's more about like, okay, what are the small things we can do? You know, that's not realistic for me to say that I'm going to have a digital detox every weekend. Like, it's just not going to happen. So we're really trying to be that modern brand that's focused on that. But yeah, like I said, in a realistic way. And we have beautiful products. We have 4 beautiful products. I'll need to send you them. But we have bath salts, a body scrub, a body oil, and a body balm. And of course, they're beautiful. I've worked in the beauty industry, so I've formulated them all with a lot of care. And that's the brand.
Absolutely. Okay. So what's the cult product? Like what's the one Mirror Water product that everyone needs to have?
The body oil. That's our bestseller.
Okay.
So our products smell, they all use the same essential oil. So it's no synthetic fragrances. It's just essential oils. So we have vetiver, cedarwood, Canadian black spruce, and a bit of bergamot that gives it like a lift. It's a gender neutral fragrance. Anyone can wear it. It's so beautiful, layered under your own fragrance and stuff like that. That was really important to me. But genuinely, if you get the body oil, you get out of the shower when your skin is still damp. Honestly, it's like a religious experience. Like for me, I love it. And I've never, ever heard one person say they don't like the scent. So that's pretty good.
Okay. Amazing. I'm actually really curious, like, what is there one thing that like you wish you could have told your like yourself before you started this brand, something that like was a huge challenge or that stuck out in your mind that you wish you knew?
It's all a challenge every single day. I think for me, the hardest part has just been accepting that I'm a startup brand and I can't do things the way I necessarily want them. You know, I'm used to being sent the most gorgeous press packages from like Dior and La Mer and this. It's like when you're a startup, it's just not possible. So for instance, if you want to have a body oil made, you can't just like design your own jar and get it made. That's like a minimum order of at least like 25,000. Okay, but that's insane. Like you can't start off with 25,000 of something when you're just starting. So I think that was a huge hurdle for me to just accept like I can't have things exactly the way I want and I can't do this and I can't do that. But in a way, it's been that challenge of creating something unique with what you have. So I think we've done a good job, but I think just understanding that every single day you're going to be solving problems. It's way more problem solving than I ever thought. I mean, I have a beauty brand and I never talk about beauty. I'm always talking about logistics, packaging, legal stuff. It's
Oh my gosh. And so how do you balance sort of what you're doing now as a founder with like your years of experience as a content creator? Is it like a push pull? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, it's a push pull for sure. And I think in the beginning days of launching the brand, we really only launched the products, I think 4 months ago or something like that. I mean, it feels like 4 years ago, but it's only been 4 months. So we're still baby, very, very fresh. And it was just so hectic and so busy. I couldn't really do a lot of videos or content or anything like that. But now, you know, we've launched the products, the website is up. It's kind of going on its own a little bit more. Now I can like go back and spend more time vlogging and I'm loving it. I'm loving vlogging and I'm loving sharing my life again. And I'm also in a really good place personally. So I'm just enjoying sharing again. And I don't think I'll ever stop sharing, you know, it's one of those things that's just part of my personality at this stage. I really enjoy it. And it's like anyone's job. I mean, sometimes you're like, oh, I really don't want to go into the office today. It's a bit like that. It's like, sometimes I just don't want to pick up the camera. I have like a spot and I'm just like not feeling it or I'm on my period or whatever. It's like, I really can't. So it's definitely a push pull and I enjoy them both equally, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can certainly hear the passion. It seems like you are certainly in the right job for you. So I guess as one of my last questions, we need to break down the beauty routine. Like you have such effortless, amazing style. Like what's the day-to-day beauty routine look like for you?
Well, first of all, thank you. I am a hot mess.
No chance.
I mean, I am so minimal. I'm like, but skincare is my thing. I love skincare. I love getting facials. Like I love getting facials. I find that's like my time to meditate. But I really do try to take good care of my skin and keep it hydrated. So I never ever skip on my skincare routine. So that's the first thing. And then as far as my makeup and stuff like that, I wear tinted moisturizer, concealer, brow gel, bronzer, blush, lip balm. Like that's like my big day out. If it's just my average day, it's literally like sunscreen and brow gel. That's it. I don't know. I'm just lazy. I'm so lazy. And then my hair, I just hate doing my own hair. I wish I could get it blow dried every single day.
So it's funny because we literally have the same haircut. You can't really, well, you can see it now, but we are on video, everyone. So that's what we're talking about. Okay. Same here. Super minimal. What's the brow gel brand? Like what is your holy grail?
Honestly, I don't know if you get your brows threaded. Do you?
I have, and I love it, but I, similar to you, I feel like a hot mess lately. I really haven't been doing the upkeep. So, but it hurts so bad, but it's amazing. They shape them so nicely. They look so good after.
I know. Well, anyway, I get my brows threaded and then tinted, which is really good. And then I love their brow gel. So I go to Blink Brow Bar. And also, oh my God, if you're a lazy girl like me, they also like tint and curl your lashes there. It takes like an hour, but I don't wear mascara. I don't ever wear mascara because my brows are, or my lashes are always tinted and curled for me. It's have been.
Okay. We need to try that. We need to get on that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Estee, as a last question, last word of advice, what do you want to leave our audience with today?
I guess it would just be that spring is coming. Hallelujah.
There is a light.
There is a light. It's been a really long winter. I think especially if you've like been living here in the UK, it's like, ugh, that winter was just so long. And I personally felt so low and depressed in the winter. And I definitely struggle with seasonal depression. I've realized that especially this year. Just that exactly. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Spring is coming. Summer is coming even better. And be kind to yourself. And I think we're all just so hard on ourselves. And you see everybody's highlight reel on Instagram or whatever they say. And it's so true. Like, just try to put the blinders on a little bit with Instagram and everything else. And just do things that honestly make you happy. Like, get into nature. Go hang out with your dog. You know, these are all the things that are really going to fill you up. So yeah. I don't know. That's probably the last thing I would say.
No, I absolutely love that. Get offline, people. Get offline.
Yeah. At least so, a little bit. Like yeah. It doesn't have to be, you know, some big dramatic thing. But I mean, sure. On Sunday, I spent the day like completely off my phone. And it's like a type of rest. Like you're resting your brain.
Yeah, 100%. Is there anything coming up for you that you want to share with the audience before you go?
I don't think so. Just, you know, working on Mirror Water, and I would love everyone to go follow us over there at mirrorwater.earth. And that's it. Just living life, aren't I?
Awesome. No, I love it. Essay, thank you so much. This was such a fun conversation. Where can everybody follow you and keep up with you?
Thank you so much for having me. My Instagram is at Estee Lalonde, EsteeLalonde. Mostly you'll find just like pictures and videos of my dog, Effie, who I love so, so much. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
Amazing. Thank you. And thank you guys all for listening and watching today. If you found value from the episode, please share it with a friend and tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at Monday_Network. We love to hear your feedback, and we'll catch you next time.